So, who are you and what do you do?
So, my name is Trevor Tim.
Okay.
I'm the director.
Trevor Tim, two first names.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
And I am the director of Freedom of the Press Foundation.
Okay.
And we are a nonprofit organization that does all sorts of advocacy around the First Amendment and journalists and whistleblowers' rights.
Mm-hmm.
We have a booth right outside here where you can buy some t-shirts and stickers. Our main project is SecureDrop, which is the open source whistleblower submission system. It was actually one of Aaron Schwartz's final projects before he passed away a few years ago. And it's in about two dozen media organizations now, including the Washington Post, the New Yorker, the Guardian, Gawker, and a whole host of others. And the idea is that we want to use technology to protect journalists and their sources, rights, and communications. And so at Freedom of the Press Foundation, we develop the software and help news organizations install it. And then we also teach them how to use encryption tools. When the laws kind of fall down in cases where journalists are spied on, whether it's via phone calls or emails, hopefully SecureDrop and other tools can protect them much better.
So you guys are more like you're not necessarily advocating freedom of the press. You're creating technologies and instructing the press on how to be more free.
I think we're doing both.
Okay.
We write a lot about just general press freedom issues too, but it's definitely we have a bent towards using technology to help them along.
Okay. How did you get into Press Must Be Free? Who do it?
Well, I'm a lawyer by trade. I used to work at the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Okay.
And back in 2011, 2012, while I was still there, a bunch of us decided to found the Freedom of the Press Foundation. The original impetus was actually the WikiLeaks financial blockade, where Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal essentially cut off WikiLeaks for publishing information that they had the First Amendment right to publish. And which other newspapers were freely publishing without any sort of government censorship. Yet these private companies, based on unofficial pressure from U.S. government officials, decided to cut WikiLeaks off. So our original goals were centered around crowdfunding for WikiLeaks, breaking their financial blockade, and then also raising money for a whole host of other transparency and news organizations. So for example, Muckrock, who was here and doing a talk, we were one of their original funders as well. And so we still do crowdfunding campaigns. We have a couple active ones right now. We raised over $200,000 for Chelsea Manning's legal defense. And right now we're raising money for local journalists who want to file Freedom of Information Act lawsuits surrounding police brutality and police abuse.
Okay. Could you spend a little time on the drop technology and how it works?
Sure. So SecureDrop is a system that leverages the Tor network. That basically what happens is news organizations create their own Tor hidden service. So essentially you go to the Washington Post website, for example, you click through to a SecureDrop landing page. It gives you simple instructions if you're a source and you have information you want to get to them on how to use it. All you really need to do is download the Tor browser, click over the Tor browser and onto the specific organization's link, and it just presents a fairly simple contact page like you would see on any other normal website, except there's no name field or no requirements for email address, obviously, to keep people anonymous. And you can submit either information or fairly large files to news organizations. And on the other side, if you're the journalist, there is a pretty security-intensive procedure that you go through to download and decrypt the documents. So the documents are automatically encrypted to the server, and it uses the Tails operating system to provide a little bit added protection. And so When the journalist gets the files, they walk them over to an air-gap computer, download them, and decrypt them on the
air-gap computer. Okay.
And hopefully do most of their work on this computer so it never actually touches the network of the main news organization. And the hope being that both the network, the main journalism or news organization network is protected from what comes through SecureDrop, but also that SecureDrop is protected from the news organization's network, which a lot of times have been compromised by state-sponsored hackers or otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, there was a study that was done a couple years ago by a couple of Google researchers that found that 21 of the top 25 news organizations had been compromised over the past couple years. So it's important to make sure that we keep SecureDrop completely compartmentalized from the rest of the news organization.
Now, do you guys have like suggested like policies and procedures in terms of like once the data arrives at the newspaper, like the best way to disperse the, like how does a journalist know this document is for me? And like who's the, like the, I guess the, or how would you suggest someone decides who should see this info?
Yeah. It's a good question, and you know, I think a lot of news organizations have different strategies because a lot of, you know, some of the news organizations that we work with are huge. They have hundreds of reporters, and you know, if there's only two or three people checking SecureDrop, then they have to have some sort of procedure in place to figure out who the best reporter is to dig more into this information. But as far as authenticating whether a document is real, you know, they go through much of the same procedures they would if they were to receive something in the mail, for example, mm-hmm. or if a stranger were to call them on the phone, that they have to be able to figure out before they actually publish it that the document is authentic, that it is newsworthy, and that's just really just the regular journalistic process. You know, when you submit something through SecureDrop, it's not that, you know, it's automatically getting published. It's, yeah. You know, there's a journalist on the other end who has to figure out where the story is and make sure everything is accurate.
Okay, so I'm going to like come up with a hypothetical situation. I want you to tell me the best way to handle this.
Sure.
So I come across some very damning information about an elite hacker named Johnny Thanksgiving. And I want to send it to any media company that will take this damning information. What would be the best, like, to keep myself safe, what's the best way to move this information to people that I think need it?
Well, so this is like a classic case, use case for SecureDrop. I think that if you have this information and that there is no, in the current instance, no way for it to lead back to you, then I think SecureDrop provides you a way to get it to a news organization where there hopefully won't be, if there is a later investigation when people are looking for the source of this information, there won't be any way to trace it back to you. So we recommend that people go, that they don't use their home or work internet connection, mm-hmm. but that maybe you go to a coffee shop, then you download the Tor browser. And we have on our website, securedrop.org and freedom.press, we have a directory of all of the SecureDrops that we know about. There are about two dozen of them. So you would essentially be able to pick and choose from those news
from
organizations.
From those ones who should get it.
Yeah.
But it's okay if I use my own computer? Do I want to use a different computer?
You know, I think when we're talking about security, there are different levels of paranoia.
This is really damning evidence about Johnny Thanksgiving.
You can go far down the security rabbit hole to the point where maybe you should buy a new computer and only use that computer for
this specific leak. Use this and then destroy it because it's tainted by the Johnny Thanksgiving info.
Absolutely. You know, that's essentially the problem when we talk about
how paranoid do I want to be?
Yeah, and so you know, you could also use the Tails operating system to log into that computer.
I know nothing about the Tails operating system. Can you go into that?
Yeah, sure. Tails is really interesting. It's an operating system that lives off of a USB. So you can essentially plug it into your computer and boot into it. And nothing actually touches the hard drive of your computer. And then once you're in the operating system, all of the internet traffic automatically goes over Tor. And so you can essentially go to SecureDrop websites, upload this information, and then actually once you shut off the operating system, everything is automatically and securely wiped from what you
from
did.
From the memory.
Yeah, unless you decide to purposely save it either on a separate USB stick or what's known as the persistence drive. And so, ideally, you could use the Tails operating system, do whatever you want on it, and shut it down, and everything is erased, and hopefully there would be no traces of what you actually did when you were using it.
Use the software that you guys created, what would you say has been the biggest news item or cache of documents that someone's used to receive it?
So this is kind of the conundrum with the SecureDrop is that, you know, when we develop the software and we help news organizations install it, but what we're actually trying to do is get rid of third parties completely.
Sure.
So, you know, there's no Gmail to subpoena secretly, or there's no AT&T to secretly subpoena, so that news organizations own the server. They're only communicating through the SecureDrop server, and that once we install it, we actually have no access to it. And so for us, we can't actually tell what news organizations use it for. But and you know, obviously news organizations have an incentive not to say
we got it through the SecureDrop
because they don't want to tip off any investigators.
We narrowed down where they got the documents from.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
But luckily there have been a couple stories where news organizations have felt comfortable enough to say that they got information through SecureDrop. So, for example, The Intercept published a story about 3 or 4 months ago about a company called Securus. This is a large company in the United States that records the phone calls of prisoners. And so the company publicly stated that when prisoners have conversations with their attorneys, which are protected by attorney-client privilege, that they are not allowed to record them. Well, a hacker hacked into Securus and leaked about 70 million files to The Intercept, showing that all over the country that they actually were recording these attorney-client privilege conversations against their policy and probably violating the constitutional rights of these prisoners. And so it was actually a huge story, and there's been a bunch of litigation that's happened since then with prisoners challenging the recordings and challenging a lot of their cases because of it. So that has been probably the most high impact story that's come from SecureDrop that at least has been publicly known.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also, there was a study done by Columbia Journalism School just last month, actually, it came out where they for the first time interviewed about 7 or 8 news organizations who were using SecureDrop. And while they didn't want to disclose any specific stories, virtually every news organization gave quotes to this author's study saying that, yes, we use SecureDrop. It's very useful for us, and we're going to keep using it. So that was really heartening to hear. And the fact that, you know, it's been around for now 2.5 years and pretty much everyone that installed it at the beginning is still using it, and that no one really gives it up, kind of signals to us that it's actually important, and that, or at least it's being used and is useful. And we also, you know, because a lot of high-profile news organizations have adopted it in recent years, we have a wait list that's almost double the amount of news organizations that have it now. So we're
excited. Yeah. To set up, is it that complicated a setup? Like, why is there such a lengthy delay in getting it out there?
Well, unfortunately, the installation process is a bit complicated because what's involved, there's two servers that need to have things installed on them. You have to set up a separate computer, and then you have to train the journalists how to use it. It's actually really easy for sources to use, but on the journalist end is where the
setup is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, makes sense. You want to make it as easy as possible to give the data,
right,
and difficult to decrypt and receive it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in a situation where we actually can train the journalists how to use it, but, you know, obviously you can't train sources how to use it because you don't know who those people
are.
So you want it to be as easy as possible on that end, and then make the journalists go through the security hoops. And so, you know, we offer support to all these news organizations who want to use it, and we go and help them install it if they want. It's a completely open source project, and we have a bunch of documentation online. So there are news organizations that have installed it themselves.
Just not themselves.
But we do offer kind of a service where we can come and help them.
Now, is this something that you guys do for free?
Yep. So for independent news organizations and small news organizations, we're happy to do it for free. For larger news organizations, we do ask them to pay for the support, just because, you know, they can afford it.
And sure.
We need to be able to fund the project somehow. We have, you know, three or four developers working on it full time. But because it's a completely free and open source project, you know, if they have the technical ability, they can install it themselves, and it's all there online for them to read how to install it and how it works.
Cool. So you guys have a table on this floor. Are you guys just here to spread the word? This is what you do and how you do it, or?
Yeah, we're here to spread the word. We have some t-shirts and stickers at our booth if anybody wants to come by. Our CTO, Garrett Robinson, gave a talk on Secure Drop last night at 9 p.m. Went really well, so check that out if you didn't get to see it when it goes up online, whenever it goes up online.
Actually, with all of the video feeds, you could rewind.
Oh,
so you could see,
beautiful.
I mean, you'll have to click through it, but yeah. If you figure out the time, you could go back there and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it happened kind of late last night, so I think a lot of people missed it. But if you go online and check it out, it's a really informative and hopefully entertaining talk where you can learn a lot more about SecureDrop.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate the conversation.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.